Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dice Guys, the first Dice Guys of the new year, January 6, 2012, episode number 14. Today on the Dice Guys, we have Game Picks of the Week. We also are going to talk about some interesting news in the massively multiplayer online role-playing game world because we want to. And we like the MMOs that have come out. And we have some brain flakes. Brain flakes, we're starting with a whole new bowl of brain flakes this year, and we're going to see how long it goes before they're not crunchy in milk.
History shows they will stay crunchy forever.
Yeah, man. Are trying to kill me.
All right, well, Jason, we're back.
After a bit of a hiatus,
a bit of a
yes.
hiatus, yes. There's a lot of stuff going on there, and we're not very good at managing time.
Well, and on top of that, everybody wants to know, you know, did you have a nice vacation? Did you have a nice holiday? No, we were sick the entire time, so thanks for asking.
That's right. We had some variation of sick. At any one time, one of us or both of us, and I'm still actually got something. It's ridiculously stupid. It's not going away.
And like yesterday is the first day I felt like I might actually be over everything.
Yeah, I mean I still cough now, and I've had this since middle of November.
Yeah.
So
whatever it is, it's ridiculously powerful, and
like we said on one of our other podcasts, it might come through the internet at you, so look out.
Yeah.
So anyway, but other than that, what else have you been doing? Anything?
Playing lots of WoW.
Okay.
Yeah, I've really gotten back into it. I don't know why. I just am really enjoying myself right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, and I started playing because my roommate got his copy of Star Wars, The Old Republic. And because I'm a cheap bastard, I play on his account.
Hell
and,
yes.
Yes. And I've been playing some characters there, and I've gotten kind of caught up in it. But we'll go over that in the MMO thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and let's see what else. I got a few games for Christmas.
I got the, you actually got me the Pathfinder Beginner Box.
Yeah. We made
so we're going to be trying that out here soon.
Yep.
That looks pretty cool.
And I bought for a gift for myself, because nobody thinks to get me any board games. I usually end up getting, you know, shirts or socks or something. So I got a game for myself, which is going to be my game pick of the week. So I'm not mentioning it right now.
It's an awesome game, though, by
yeah.
the way.
So yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Yep. And let's see what else. Nothing really.
No, nothing really. I mean, just a lot of and, you know, and crawling to the computer and playing a game.
Yeah. So, anyway, but we can go into our brain flakes then.
Absolutely. Since we have now explained where we've been, let's explain what's been going on in the world, at least what's caught our interest.
Yep. Brain flakes!
Brain flakes! All right, so shall we start with the whole rodent issue?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I came across this one. It's basically making the rounds of the internet right now, and it's being posted on Google+.
Be surprised if people haven't heard about it, but yeah, we want to talk about it anyway.
Yeah, it's been posted on Google+, people. It's been posted on Facebook, people that I have, and everything. But basically, the gist of it is somebody found a mouse in some Mountain Dew.
Yeah, and they're suing.
But the best part of the story is that Pepsi does not deny that there was a mouse in the Mountain Dew, or that there couldn't be a mouse in the Mountain Dew. What they are saying, though, is that The time between the manufacture of the can of Mountain Dew and the time that the man says he found the mouse is impossible, because Mountain Dew by that time would have dissolved the mouse.
Mountain Dew, by Pepsi's own admission, will dissolve a mouse.
Whee!
Yeah. Now, according to some knowledgeable people in some forum threads or some threads on this on these articles, or at least one knowledgeable person, and I believe him because everything on the internet is true and said by scientists.
Absolutely.
Yes. The mouse actually would not be dissolved, but be more gelled.
And so, to me, that's just a bonus.
Yes, jellied mice. I mean, come on. Who wouldn't want jellied mice?
As I said to you earlier today, you no longer have to buy those little wall walker toys. You just get a Mountain Dew, fish your jellied mouse out, and slap it against the wall.
Yep. And it's going to either, you know, wacky wall crawl down or ooze.
Yeah, or it might just stick there and be an interesting decoration and talking point for the next time you have guests over.
Oh, man.
I think that's enough of that one.
No. I wanted to get into one other thing on this. Most of these things, when people post it, everybody's like, ooh, yuck, ooh, oh, I'm so glad I don't drink soda pop anymore.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's like, come on. You're not going to drink any soda because one guy somewhere had a mouse, and occasionally some other people have something in their soda pop. You know, these are the manufacturing problems. And if you have something in your can of soda or in your candy bar or in your bag of chips or a chicken head in your McDonald's chicken nuggets.
Which was another great story.
Yeah. I mean, these things happen occasionally. You always hear about them, but they're not that big. It's like 1% of 1%
right.
That happens. And you hear the worst cases. So, yeah, you don't have to stop drinking. Because now, there's all sorts of health reasons why you shouldn't have this stuff, to which I say, but yeah, don't stop. You know, if it's going to bug you that much, pour the can of soda pop into a glass first to see if it comes out as jelly. Okay. I mean, if it comes out with jelly with little pink nose and whiskers, you probably shouldn't drink it.
Probably. We're not saying don't.
All right. Well, okay. Now I think I've had my say on that one because, you know, I get tired of people telling me what I can and can't eat and drink. You know, so shut up. Next.
All right. So let's go with Douche Dad next.
Douche Dad. Yes. Now this one, okay, I admit I haven't totally investigated this one to make sure that it's not just a sort of internet, you know, story kind of thing.
Right.
You know, that's I'm sure it's based in some truth somewhere, even if it's not totally true and everything. But basically, what's the story, Jason?
The story is about two brothers, one about 17, the other one, I think they said about 10?
Yeah.
In a gaming store, and little kid wanted a game that had a female protagonist,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted pastel-colored controllers.
Yeah.
You know? And the store owner helped him pick out a purple controller. And the dad came in wanting to find out what was taking so long and started freaking out about how this kid should be picking more masculine games. And, okay, this is one sticking point in this story. The store owner helped him pick out Mirror's Edge,
mm-hmm.
which has a female protagonist. The dad decided that he needed a more masculine game and tried to talk his 10-year-old son into buying Dead Island.
Yeah.
Okay, one of the more graphic games
mm-hmm.
that no parent should actually be pushing their 10-year-old son towards.
Yeah.
You know,
unless
they
can handle it or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, yeah, things are changing. Younger and younger kids are able to handle these things. But it just seemed a little odd to me that he would be pushing him towards Dead Island. But anyway, the
idea that he would be playing a woman in a game is just, you know, worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How could it not be, right? But the really awesome part of this story is that the reason they were in the store is the older brother was buying a present for the younger brother. And he stood up to his dad and told him he needed to back off, that if this is what the kid wanted, this was what he was buying for it.
Yeah.
and stood up to his dad and made him back down.
Yeah, his dad actually stomped out of the store. So, you know,
we do worry about what happens to the kids after they get home.
Yeah, yeah, doesn't say, nothing said about that, because this is a report coming from the I think the clerk at the store or something,
right,
and everything. But I don't think there's too much we have to say about this story. I mean, other than the fact that the guy is a douche.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and
so
pull your head out of your ass, dude.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if your son wants a purple controller, come on, let him have a purple controller. Who gives a crap? So
that doesn't mean that he's gay, and even if he is, who cares?
Who cares, you know?
It's his life. It's not yours. It's not saying anything about you, dude, that your son might be gay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And again, we don't even know if he is. He just likes purple.
No, he likes purple. So what?
So anyway.
Maybe he wants a female protagonist for the same reason that people say they play females in WoW. If he has to look at some female or some character running around all the time and look at their ass the whole time, he wants it to be a girl.
Guess so, maybe.
Who knows? But he's 10 years old. He's probably really not that concerned about it.
Yeah. So, douche dad, wherever you are, back off.
Yeah. Join the 21st century, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Get over it.
All right.
Maybe he would be a good dad if he was taken over by what's in our next story.
Yeah, because the next two are kind of sideways. Science! Brain flakes here.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
yeah.
That's true. He would probably be a much more pleasant dad.
If he was taken over by the zombie virus parasite fly thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, apparently they've discovered what they think may be causing a lot of the bee die-off. You know, the honeybees are disappearing or dying off, and it's a big scary thing because they pollinate things, and then we eat them. Not the bees, but the things that pollinate.
Although I have eaten a bee before by accident when it was swimming in my beer.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, a pickled...
Let me tell you, that isn't scary at all. Where you're taking a big swallow and you realize there's a bee in your beer and it shoots straight down your throat. It's like, ah! But anyway, that's another story.
So anyway, but no, what's happened in this, apparently a scientist had gone out and collected some bees that had died all around the light outside the university, outside his building. And so he'd gone and picked them up all the ground, all these bees, took them, put them in a jar, went back, set them in his laboratory. Came back the next day, and the jars were full of fly larvae.
Yeah. Apparently, these flies, this particular species of fly, has been injecting their eggs into various stinging insects such as paper wasps.
Bumblebees, paper wasps, and now honeybees.
Honeybees.
Yeah.
And, those eggs are then, at that point, taking over their host and flying them around.
Mm-hmm. Causing them to die.
Yeah, flying them off of their normal path and causing them to die.
Yeah, they turn the bees into zombies, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
It's like, okay, you implant your egg in there. The egg then takes over the controls and flies this little hornet around as its own little bio ship.
Whee! You know, it's kind of like they're trying out new models.
Right.
You know? It's like, you know, first we started off with the bumblebee. And, you know, it's a little... You know, it's hard to fly the thing. So
the wings are ridiculous.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Yeah, you know. So then I went to the paper wasp. And yeah, man, the paper wasp really cool, but it's way too fast. I mean, we're a little bit more laid back than that. So, you know, we've gotten these honeybees, and they're awesome. They're just awesome. I mean, they fly around. They go at a good speed, you know, and the honey is to die for.
So it's like Goldilocks.
Yeah, just right.
Just right.
So, you know, parasites, they have their stories, too.
Yeah, at least we can make them up.
Yep, and you know what else has stories? Yetis.
Apparently.
Yetis have stories.
This actually has a really fascinating backstory. Apparently, a monastery in Nepal...
Yes, that's what the story says. This could also be one of these totally fake, made-up things, but it's so cool, we decided to go over it anyway.
Oh my gosh, it sounds made up. apparently, this monastery in Nepal had what they considered to be a Yeti finger, a mummified finger from a Yeti, and this dude swiped it and replaced it
because,
with
you know, he probably had, like, khaki shorts and a stupid hat.
A whip. Yeah. So he replaces it with a human finger. First question, where did he get the human finger to replace it with?
Exactly. I figure it's from another monk. Yeah. But, you know, didn't say that he fought any
monks. And they have a vow of silence, so they can't tell on him.
And he didn't scream when he cut it off. Exactly.
So anyway, so he replaces it with a human finger, and he smuggles it out in, get this.
Well, he gives it apparently to James Stewart. Jimmy Stewart, yes. The actor. Yeah.
Who smuggles it out of the country in his wife's lingerie case. And when he gets back here, it's given to...
the Royal College of Surgeons Museum in London.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the Edinburgh Zoo has tested it. And what have they discovered, Mike?
They've discovered that it's human DNA. It's just a human finger.
Right.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Not a Yeti.
Yeah.
Unless a Yeti... is just another bored, hairy guy sitting out there in the wilderness somewhere.
Or... Because we both had this idea.
Yeah. Dumbass switched up the fingers and ended up putting the Yeti finger back and brought the human finger to Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, which wouldn't surprise me because, you know, those 50s adventurers were all messed up. They're always drinking wine and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Losing it up.
Definite rum suds. So,
yeah. So, yeah, so the Yeti gave the zoo the finger.
Yep. Yep. In the final act of defiance, I'm human, bitches.
And on that note, we'll just move right on to your game pick.
Okay.
Snake-ass.
All right. Well, I'm not sure. We recorded a podcast or two in the hiatus that we took, and bits and pieces, if not whole episodes, will eventually make it online. Maybe even some of it before this one gets posted.
Yeah, that mainly because of the coughing and some other things.
Right.
We were kind of off, so we're kind of messing with it. But anyway.
The point is that I pulled a mic. And
you did pull me.
And you know, I'm using you as an adjective, not as an actual. But anyway, I chose a game I hadn't played yet as my game pick of the week just because it looked awesome. Okay, which is Falling Goblin Edition. It's a little card game. It is published by Paizo, and it is by James Ernest of Titanic Games. And really cool little card game. I picked it without playing it. I'm picking it again, which is also pulling a mic, because I have now played it, and I would like to tell you that it was worthy of a pick.
You are also vindicated.
I am vindicated.
Now this game is actually, the Goblin Edition is actually a kind of a different updated. It's got goblins instead of people, what the original edition had.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's really fun. The artwork is a blast. It's for 48 players. It says 5-minute playtime. That varies. Your first game is going to take a lot longer than 5 minutes because there's a fairly steep learning curve. Honestly, kind of go over the rules and then just play a hand. That's how you figure out how to play it. Is by laying it down. Then you go, oh yeah, that makes sense. But you can, basically, the idea, and I explained this last time, you're a bunch of goblins falling, doesn't matter why, you're just falling, and you're bored, and so you decide to make a game out of it, and the last goblin to hit the ground wins.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I win!
So you're playing all these cards to try and make sure that you're the last one to have a ground card hit you in the face.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
So, different types of cards get played. They're cards that you can use to screw over your other players, or they're cards that are like status. So, you can use that to shift a status over to somebody else. You can have multiple stacks of cards in front of you. You get multiple stacks by split cards being played, which split your stack. Which just means you have a better chance of not being the first one to get splatted.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's hard to explain because, like I said, you have to have the cards in front of you. You have to play the game. But once you have learned the rules, 5 minutes is probably the maximum amount of time the game takes to play. It's a really quick game. It's a fantastic filler game.
So basically kind of like in real life, it doesn't take very long to reach terminal velocity.
Oh, my gosh. No. No, the ground comes up a hell of a lot faster than you think it's going to. So there you go. Falling, the mm-hmm. Goblin Edition. It's just under $10 in most places. And fantastic game.
Awesome.
Pick it up.
Okay. So, well, let's go on now to MMOs.
Yeah, there's really no way to segue into MMOs on
from
this
Falling.
One.
Yeah,
not really.
So, yeah.
Unless we want to talk about the fact that people are claiming that when a game goes free to play,
mm-hmm.
that it is declining. That's almost Falling.
That's kind of a stretch.
It's a stretch. But anyway, let's just go into it. Okay, the way we wanted to start this out is people are talking about Star Wars The Old Republic.
Star Wars The Old Republic.
Being a wow killer. And we'll get into that later. But let's talk about the merits, you know, of the games we enjoy playing.
Yeah, well, that's the one that I've been playing recently while I've been trying to get over this strange illness that I think mm-hmm. was put on me by the CIA. But
No, it's the Empire. It's the Empire. It's the evil Empire.
Yeah. Anyway, the Star Wars The Old Republic just recently was released in December by BioWare, and
yep.
it's a big hit. Who would have thunk it?
Right.
So,
Star Wars, that's not popular at all.
basically, a lot of people out there listening to this podcast probably have played it, or they know Star Wars, so I don't really have to go too much into that.
No.
But what I will go into is that it's a lot of fun. And I would probably actually buy it and play it rather than just, you know, skimming off my roommate's account because I'm a cheap bastard. If, you know, I had the time to really sit down and play these things
right.
a lot and everything. But I don't. So I just kind of scam some time when I can. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, I've played, all right, by now I started as a smuggler.
Mm-hmm.
And which is kind of like your Han Solo-ish kind of guy.
Right.
And one cool thing that I like about the game is you can make fat people.
Right, right. I actually had heard about that.
You can make fat people. You can make women with curves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in the game, in the character types. And it's cool because, you know, there are big people that can move like that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a fat smuggler.
Awesome.
And he kicks butt, and it was kind of fun. And then I made a Jedi counselor.
Right.
Okay. And he's a lot of fun, too. And that's where I got what I call my first wow moment. And I don't necessarily mean wow as in World of Warcraft, although
that does qualify.
It's, well, you know, it fits because that in World of Warcraft, when I first started playing years ago,
mm-hmm.
there's that dam. What's the place the dam is in?
Lock Moden
or Lock Modan or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's that moment where you come around the edge and the dam is there, and you kind of see it all in perspective, and you just like, wow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or you come down the path and you come up to Stormwind, and the music starts swelling up, and you see the big gate to Stormwind in your home,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, wow. You know, they got the colors right. They got everything right. Well, I hadn't really had that kind of a moment in Star Wars yet until I played the Jedi Counselor and I came around the path to the Jedi Temple, and you've got all the little Jedi Padawans out there kind of with their little teachers, and they're doing little things here and little things over there and everything. And you come around the path and the temple just kind of comes up in front of you. And it's like, ooh, that's cool. There was another moment like that too, which I've forgotten right now. So I will bring that up later if I remember it. But old brain is old. So we'll go over that. But there's moments like that in the game, and I think that really makes these MMOs, for me anyway, is those moments where you turn a corner or you see something or somebody does something that you don't expect. And Star Wars has that. Star Wars also has the big thing that a lot of people talk about, and I agree, is the cutscene interaction with the characters. So rather than just clicking on somebody with a question mark or an exclamation point over their head, when you click on them and you don't get a wall of text, you actually talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have everything scripted out with voice actors, that, and the actors are really good. And it's a good way to do things. And they actually work that into parties too, so you get social points and everything. But yeah, it's a good game.
Well, in WoW,
mm-hmm.
like you listed some of your WoW moments.
Mm-hmm.
My first one, when I got into the beta, mm-hmm. the open beta of the original, you know, vanilla WoW.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I created was a dwarf hunter. So my first WoW moment was going to Ironforge.
Mm-hmm.
And just as you pass through the gates of Iron, you know, the opening of Ironforge, the music swells and you've got that giant statue of a dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
And,
giant dwarf's head.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you have to wonder, as epic as Ironforge is, why do these little guys need such high ceilings? But still, it was really cool. There's that. I also had the lock mm-hmm. moment that was pretty awesome. When I first played a Night Elf, ran around in the starting area and went to Darnassus. And when I was flying away, realizing, you know, well, actually kind of tells you in the story, but you don't really realize it until you're flying away. You don't realize the scale of it, that you were playing on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
One massive tree.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty epic.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty awesome. There were multiple epic mm-hmm. moments in WoW. There really were. And I'm sure as you get further into Star Wars, you're going to find the same thing there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and actually I remember your other Star Wars moment. And that's when you made it to the bridge.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. That's right. Yeah, there's a moment. There's the first... They call them flashpoints, and it's like an instance, and you basically group up with people and go in. And this is a flashpoint on your way to Coruscant, and you're on a ship, and it starts getting attacked by the Empire, and you have to battle, kind of fight your way up to the bridge of the ship. And the bridge of the ship, the bridge level, is just this huge big room, and you're running across the room towards the front of the room, the front where the view screen is, or the big window is what it is. And outside the window, as you're running up there, and there's some people standing up there, the captain and everything, outside the window is one of those huge Empire starship battleships.
Star Destroyers.
Star Destroyers. Mm-hmm. And it's firing on the ship, and the beams are coming at you, and the ship is rocking and everything. And that was, wow.
That sounds
epic. You know? And makes you feel like you're in an epic. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Those are the MMO things that I think really...
And I do really like the idea of your travel time being used as an adventure point.
Yeah.
You know, having an instance where you're battling your way through as a means of travel to mm-hmm. another place. That's an awesome idea.
Yeah, there's other things in the game, too, when you gain your ship, that there's actual adventures that you can get. Ship space combat type things
right.
and everything. So that adds into it as well.
So yeah,
I'm
going to have to try this out because mm-hmm. it's just, there's too many things in it that I want to experience. Yeah.
And I think what really caught me about it is that BioWare didn't try to do anything really new per se.
Right.
They didn't, you know, it's very WoW-like. It has character classes. It has talent trees. It has crafting.
Skill bars.
And yeah. It has all these things that WoW popularized, and that actually will bring the WoW people over because they won't have to learn something new,
right?
You know, and they'll be more inclined to try it. And then they get the new stuff like the space missions and the actual interaction with characters
mm-hmm.
and everything. So I think it's a good mix and everything. I still like WoW a lot too, and I like the Star Wars and everything. I like the Star Trek game, but we'll get into that another time and everything. So
yeah.
I
did want to mention that, like I said before, Champions Online has gone free to play.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek Online has gone free to play.
Star Trek their free to play actually just opened for former customers.
Right. So, it will eventually go free to play mm-hmm. for everybody.
And I have a account that, because I used to play it before I got too busy and didn't have a lot of money mm-hmm. to play. So I'm going to actually re-enable the account and try it out maybe I'll talk about it on the next podcast because, you know, we talk about anything here, board games, and board games are kind of, you know, the board games things kind of slow after the Christmas season. So, so we might talk a few MMO things, but yeah, Star Trek free to play. And so I'll give that a try too.
But people want to say that free to play means that they're dying. And I don't agree.
No.
Look at Dungeons & Dragons Online. Okay, they went to free-to-play how many years ago? I don't even remember how many years ago. But
it was a little over a year ago, at least, maybe two.
I think it's been at least 2 years.
Yeah.
But
Lord of the Rings Online also free-to-play.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they have actually increased their profit margin by going free-to-play.
Yeah.
They have both been more successful by going free-to-play. Mm-hmm. There's more money involved there when you've got a lower subscription base. WoW, I think they would probably lose money going free-to-play. But, you know, they're a juggernaut. So they're really outside of the whole experiment.
And so is BioWare. And I think that there's places in the world for free-to-play and for, you know, the pay-to-play model. You know, it just depends on if you have the subscriber base to support it.
Dungeons and Dragons and Lord of the Rings, honestly, kind of do free to play the way I think it should be done.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dungeons and Dragons is supposed to feel like you're playing a tabletop game in a video game. And they do a good job of that because, like, the sort of things you buy are adventure modules. You know, they have this set of modules over here that you have to pay cash for to open them up in the game. Mm-hmm. And that's just like real life. You know, if you're going to play D&D at the tabletop, you have to buy, you know, either create your own module or you buy a module. And this one, you have to buy it. But still, I mean, it opens up a lot more game.
Yeah. See, I like that. Now, I think, and I won't know more until next week and everything, but I think that the Star Trek free-to-play is more of the buy character slots, buy items, buy ships, buy whatever. So you buy things rather than
you get that in D&D Online as well. But I mean, it's more geared towards buying the adventure content.
Yeah, and I think that's the difference. I don't think that pushes in the Star Trek one, but I'll see more when I get in there. You know, WoW and Star Wars, they have enough money and enough people and everything to keep pushing out more content for people.
Right.
You know, and have world events and everything like that. So
we're running short on time, so I'm not going to go too far into the last point. I just want to say, when it comes to WoW killers, get over it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not going to happen. At least not anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
They continuously come out with new content. They're continuously changing the game. I mean, you want to talk about change. Cataclysm changed the entire freaking world.
Yeah.
And somebody on the forums the other day actually said they were going to quit not because the game wasn't good. They love the game. They still think that they're improving it and making it a great game, but they're so nostalgic for the way the world used to be that it makes them sad to play. And for me, I mean, I have those sad moments. I told you about this the other day, the human starting area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a little kobold mine in there, and now when you go to the human starting area, that's gated off. There's an iron gate in the opening, and you can't get into that little mine.
Yeah.
It's not a huge deal, but it makes you kind of nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That happens in real life. Go back to your hometown when you're 40 and see if you don't go, oh, crap.
I used to walk across that, and now there's a mall there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you deal with it or you don't. Yeah. I mean, if this person isn't having fun anymore because they're sad, then yes, they should move on. They should go to a different game. They should find something that works for them. Yeah. But even that game's eventually going to change if it's going to stay alive.
Yeah. And you know, this is a thing that I have a problem with on anybody who calls things WoW killers or iPod killers or Android killers or, you know, that this chef is better than that chef or
I think this is media driven, to be honest. It's BS. Everything can coexist.
Yeah.
And competition is good.
Mm-hmm. Competition is good. And also, nobody has to actually win. And in fact, some places, like, for example, Apple, they don't care to win. They just want to put out their products and they have the people they have and they're happy with
that. Yeah, as long as they're making their money, they don't care whether they're on top.
Yeah, they might happen to be on top, but if they go down to, you know, 10% of the users, they're still making billions of dollars.
More PCs are sold than Macs. Oh, well.
Yeah.
You know what? They still have enough people buying them, It doesn't matter.
And they're perfectly happy with that. There's not, they don't have to win, and it doesn't matter if you kill them or not. And these dichotomies that, and I do think a lot of it's media driven or driven by forum trolls and things, that there has to be a winner or there's a this versus that. And there doesn't have to be. People can play the pay to play games. They can play the free to play games. Mm-hmm. And it looks like there's a lot of people to play either one. So
I like to play both.
Yeah. So. So anyway, that's my rant on that kind of ranty thing. Anyway, I think we're done for this podcast.
It looks like we're probably done. I think we'll end it there.
Yep. And I'll have my game pick of the week next week is what I'll do. So
okay. Yeah, because we're kind of going to just experiment with the format for a little bit, guys. If you have any suggestions, let us know.
Yeah, definitely make suggestions about what you like to hear. And if you like our ranty bits, or if you like more of the discussion bits, or if you like more game picks, we can do that too.
Yeah, because while it comes down to our personalities and stuff, we're not going to change for you or anybody. But when it comes to the actual content of the show, the kind of, like, if you like hearing the brain flakes or you don't, if you want to hear more about card games than you do dice games, mm-hmm. you know, such and so forth, well, we're more than happy to work with you on that.
And also, feedback on the length of the podcast is good, because we like to keep it around 30, 35 minutes.
If you need it to be longer or shorter, you know, let us know.
But we know that most of the podcasts out there go 45 minutes or an hour or more. I think personally that that's too long for me.
Yeah, it's a little too long, in my opinion.
But some people like it, and it would give us more time to go over some other things if you all wanted it. So, yeah, comments down at the bottom of the page.
Absolutely. Leave comments.
Email. We've got an email address on the website at thediceguys.com. Send us comments. So you can get us on Google Plus. We're not on Facebook. Because that's another rant. So.
But we do have a Google Plus page for the Dice Guys.
Yeah, so any
look
of those.
Us up.
And until next week, then.
Keep rolling those dice.
Keep rolling the dice. No, man.
Trying to kill me.